ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, titled Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 34.
Bhavayatyesha
satvena
lokanvai loga bhavanaha lilavatara nirato దేవాదిషు.
భావయతి మెయింటైన్స్ ఏషః
హోల్డ్ దీస్
సత్వేన ఇన్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్
లోకాన్
ఆల్ ఓవర్ ద యూనివర్స్.
వై
జనరలీ లోక భావన ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద యూనివర్స్.
Leela,
pastimes,
avatara,
incarnation,
anurataha,
assuming the role,
deva,
the demigod,
tiryak,
lower animals,
nara
adishu,
in the midst of human beings.
Here is the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness.
So, you can read the translation responsively.
Thus the Lord of the universe
maintains all planets
inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals.
Assuming the roles of incarnations,
he performs pastimes
to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness.
Purport.
There are innumerable material universes, and in each and every universe there are innumerable planets inhabited by different grades of living entities in different modes of nature. The Lord Vishnu incarnates himself in each and every one of them in each and every type of living society. He manifests his transcendental pastimes among them just to create the desire to go back to Godhead. The Lord does not change his original transcendental position, but he appears to be differently manifested according to the particular time, circumstances and society. Sometimes he incarnates himself or empowers a suitable living being to act for him, but in either case the purpose is the same. The Lord wants the suffering living beings to go back home, back to Godhead. The happiness which the living beings are hankering for is not to be found within any corner of the innumerable universes and material planets. The eternal happiness which the living beings want is obtainable in the kingdom of God, but the forgetful living beings under the influence of material modes have no information of the kingdom of God. The Lord therefore comes to propagate the message of the kingdom of God, either personally as an incarnation or through his bona fide representative as the good son of God. Such incarnations or sons of God are not making propaganda for going back to Godhead only within the human society. Their work is also going on in all types of societies, amongst demigods and those other than human beings.
ओम ज्ञानतिव्रांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। ट्रांसलेशन अगेन। Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. Hare Krishna. So there is a purpose behind the whole material creation. So we see from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord impregnated the material energy with living entities. Viryam adhatta viryavan. So the only potent entity in the whole world, in the whole creation, both spiritual and material, ultimately is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is the highest potency possessed by Krishna. So he is Viryam, means the potency, Adhata. He, with his potencies, he impregnated the material creation. So he is Viryavan, or he is the real potent. So one time, there was a discussion in different Goswamis, different saintly persons. And they came to the conclusion that in Vrindavan, there is no one other than Krishna who is male. Rest everyone is female by nature, because everyone is supposed to serve, everyone is supposed to give pleasure to the only male entity who is Krishna. He is the Viryavan. Now, in this verse, it is very wonderfully described what is the actual purpose of material creation, and there is a whole plan behind the material creation, as well as there is a reason for the Lord's appearance in this world. So that is very nicely described. However, for our material intelligence, it is very difficult to accept any of these things. If we have a proper material intelligence, which is analytical and which is just logical, if we talk about all these things, it becomes really difficult to grasp. Even in the material science, if we have to accept something, if we have to accept a proof, there has to be faith, there has to be cooperation among different people, and also there has to be qualification. Without cooperation, without faith, and without qualification, we cannot understand a proof, a single proof. For example, if I take this stand, for instance, if I want to know the height of this, I can get one measuring scale, maybe 1 foot long, and I can measure the height. So, to know what is the height, say, I can say it's 1.2 feet or whatever like that.
If we had to make such a statement, first of all, we need a measuring tape which is acceptable for everyone. Otherwise, one cannot come to any conclusion. Say, when you say 1.2 or 1.3, it just means that whatever scale we have accepted, if you multiply 1.3 times, we get the height of this. So who is measuring and who is observing and who is widely accepting this fact need to have a cooperation among themselves. Otherwise, one cannot measure this. And if you talk about feet, originally it was a feet of a British king. The term feet came from foot or feet, whatever. It came from the height of, you know, the length of a British king. So it was too big, you know, the height or whatever it is, it was too big. So there was no standard as such. Then there was another king and they started arguing what is the actual length. Because each feet it was different, obviously. It cannot be the same. So now, since there is a cooperation among the people who are measuring and who are observing and wide public, so we can measure something. So later in the scientific community, there was a standardization of units, that is SI units. So if you really want to know what is a 1 meter or whatever like that, the actual length, actual meter that is preserved somewhere in France, in Paris, in one of the museums. So no one can actually go and check, even if you want to go and verify what is the actual meter, one cannot. Because it is beyond our reach, as simple as that. So the whole measurement, even if you talk about such a simple experiment of measuring a length, it is based on faith and cooperation among one who is measuring, one who has standardized, and people in general who are the observers. Such a simple thing. So faith is involved and cooperation is involved. Now, when we talk about spiritual realities, as it is given in this chapter, this is the last verse of this chapter, Divinity and Divine Services. In here, it's talking about a very high reality. That is, it is not just about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but His activities. Why He appears in this world. So, without qualification, without faith, and without cooperation, how can we understand? It's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada makes this point that the whole purpose of material creation is that we again cooperate with Krishna. He uses the word cooperate. So to understand the spiritual activities, the spiritual knowledge, we have to cooperate, we need to have faith. And ultimately, we need to cooperate with Krishna in His pastimes, in His life. So that is the perfection of any life. So here we can see the Lord is appearing in this material manifestation. In one sense, He doesn't have to appear in this material manifestation for the purpose of creation. Because He can maintain the whole universe by His energies. When you talk about energies, we have to understand this is a specific feature of Vaishnava philosophy. If we understand, or if we try to understand impersonalism, impersonalists do not accept energies of the Supreme Lord. They do not accept the Supreme Lord as a personality. They do accept the Supreme as the impersonal Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. And for them, there is no energy to the Absolute. So when we talk about the energy, means it is a personal philosophy. As it is mentioned in the Shruti Shastra itself, in the Upanishad, Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. So even from the Shruti, even from the Upanishads, it is mentioned that the Supreme Absolute Truth has energies. So this is one of the essential principles of Vaishnava philosophy, that the Absolute can possess energies. So the current impersonalists, the current Mayavadis, they are not really Mayavadis. The reason is, they talk about energies of the Lord. They talk about compassion. I have heard lectures. In one sentence, they do talk about the energies of the Lord, like the compassion, the kripa, etc. And in the next sentence, they do say that the Absolute Truth is impersonal.
So actually, these two things doesn't go together. So they are simply confused. They don't know exactly what they are speaking. So it is the hardcore Mayavadis, the hardcore impersonalists, they do not accept energy. So when we say that energy, the Supreme Lord has energy, He uses His energy for creation as well as maintenance. He can use that. However, we say, okay, there is the energy and there is the energetic, who is the source of our energies. There, the actual tattva of Vaishnava philosophy comes, that there has to be an energetic behind the energy. Now, for the Lord to appear in this world, there are reasons. And as it is mentioned here, the ultimate reason for the Lord to appear here is to reclaim the conditioned source back to Godhead. So He wants to attract. It is like in a movie there is a trailer. And in the trailer they put all nice parts which are captivating, the attractive parts of the movie. And they just show the trailer, you know, in between some commercial break or whatever, or in between another movie. And with that people get attracted. So, oh yeah, this is really nice. So they go and they watch the movie. Maybe the trailer may be good, but the whole movie may not be good. But in reality, in terms of pastimes of the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between the trailer and the actual pastimes. Because it is real. There is no cheating. So it is just like trailer running all the time. It is completely attractive, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So to attract the conditioned beings, the Lord comes, descends to the material world. And also we had to understand this descendance of the Supreme Lord. It's not just like a material descendants where the Lord is missing in the spiritual world as He appears in the material world. Rather, He is present in the spiritual world as well as in the material world. As it is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, Goloka eva nivasatya akhilatma bhuta. He is just living in Goloka Vrindavan, but He is situated in everyone's heart. And He can just perform pastimes in all the universes without any trouble. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. And here we can see, He appears in different societies and in different living entities. So the whole purpose is for attracting. We can see the name Krishna Himself. Krishna means Kashati iti Krishna. Kashati means attracts. So He's all attractive. So by nature the Lord is attractive and He demonstrates such wonderful pastimes and He tries to reclaim all conditioned beings. Lord Brahma, in His prayers, He makes His point in a very wonderful way. Because He is Adikavi. So He is the highest philosopher. We can see He is Adikavi. He is the founder of our Sampradaya. So even different Acharyas, they try to glorify our original founder, who is Lord Brahma Himself. And they try to cover some aspects of Lord Brahma's pastime. Say for instance, Madhvacharya, when he presented the commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't write anything about Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma got bewildered to show respect to him. So in the 13th chapter, he just covered. He didn't comment on it. Because he didn't want to show that even the founder Acharya was bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. However, in our Sampradaya, when it's coming through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Goswamis, everything is discussed. Because we understand by the energy, by the covering potency of the Supreme Lord, anyone can be covered by the illusory energy. Even Arjuna. But it is by the will of the Supreme Lord. Not just by the bewilderment caused by the external energy of the Supreme Lord, no. So, in Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Lord Brahma got completely captivated by the illusory energy and he tried to steal the cows, the cowherd boys and the cows. Later, when he realized his mistake, he started praying to the Supreme Lord. So he may mention, you know, Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paradma Yogeshirodi Bhagavas Trilokyam Kwava Kathamva Kativa Kadeti Vistaren Kridas Yogamaya. So he mentioned, look, Kovetin woman, who can understand you? He's asking Krishna, who can understand you? Because you are Bhagavan, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you are the Yogeshwara. We have tiny yogis who can perform some magic feats, but you are the master and you are the Supreme Yogeshwara. And you are Paratma. Paratma means Paramatma. That is one who is situated in everyone's heart. So who can actually understand you? The reason is, in our inductive process of understanding everything, we use our intelligence. Right? But, so that is from going down to up with our intelligence and mind. Now, if we had to understand the Supreme Lord Himself is the source of the intelligence. Buddhi buddhimatamasmi. So He is the source of intelligence. So how can we understand someone who is the source of our own intelligence? So, logically it's not possible. So he mentions, yeah, Koveti Bhuman. How can I understand you? Not possible. Oh, he's telling, who can understand you? Then he mentions, Kova, Kathamva, Kativa, Kadeti. So he, you know, what, where, all these kind of things he puts together. He says, how you comes to this material world, how can we understand? And how many times you come to this material world, how can we understand? And when you come to this material world, how can we understand? So he absolutely presents that it is impossible to understand anything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he mentioned, Vistarayan Kridasi Yogamayam. So you appear in this material world, or you Kridasi, the word Kridasi literally means place. So for the Lord, it is just like a play. Because he is always enjoying, means he is always playing. So Kridasi Yogamayam, by his internal potency. Same point we can see in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter. Achovisan avyatma bhutana isharovisan prakritim samathishtaya sambhavam yatma maya. So here we can focus on this word atma maya. Atma maya means by his internal potency that the Lord appears in this world. And atma maya has one more meaning that is very relevant in this context. So Prabhupada explains there atma maya, maya also means compassion or kripa. So the Lord appeared by his internal potency and also out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So even a pure devotee sees the Lord's pastimes and Lord's activities, they get bewildered because it is practically very difficult to understand. In pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, even though Lord Chaitanya appeared by the call of Advaitacharya, even Advaitacharya couldn't understand, he couldn't recognize the Supreme Lord. Even all his close associates, they couldn't understand the Supreme Lord. He just appeared, he was performing his pastimes as Nimai Pandit, and even Advaitacharya, he was the cause for appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And at the same time, he was the cause of his disappearance as well. As you know, at the end of Gauranga's pastimes, Advaitacharya, he sends a message which was completely encrypted, message. That is, there is no demand for rice in the market. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he read out this message to Lord Chaitanya. There is this message from Advaitacharya that there is no demand for rice in the market. Hearing this, Mahaprabhu said, think about this Advaitacharya, how crazy he is. He has sent such a message. But while reading out, Swarup Damodar Goswami was in pain because he could understand the hidden meaning of this message. And Mahaprabhu also understood what is meant by this. So Mahaprabhu made this comment, Advaitacharya is an expert in worshipping the deities. So in worshipping the deities, there is a first procedure is to invite the deities, and after the worship is finished, we have to put the deity back. So Mahaprabhu said, Advaitacharya is such an expert, so
He actually invited me and I completed my mission, and now he's telling I can go back. So this is the role of Advaita Acharya. And he himself couldn't recognize Gauranga Mahaprabhu when he appeared. Then later, by the mercy of the Lord, he could understand. And he himself revealed to the whole world, or his all intimate associates, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Mahaprakash Leela, where he individually called different devotees and explained to them, look, in this position, when you were suffering, I helped you in this way. Like that. To Haridas Thakur, he mentioned that when you were beaten in the marketplaces, you didn't feel any pain because I personally took all those beatings. And Mahaprabhu showed all the marks on his back. Like that, he actually revealed to everyone that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So this is by the all these activities are by internal potency. So even the pure devotees, without the mercy of the Supreme Lord, cannot understand. And the Lord can put them in bewilderment. So in Brahma's pastime, we can see the Brahma was straight away seeing the Supreme Lord and he was in bewilderment. Similarly, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi, she says, makes the same point, that it is a bewilderment. Tad Atanta Vidambanam. She makes this point. That is, it is very similar to this verse actually. That is Deva Tiryan Naradishu. Whereas she makes a point that Janma Karma Cha the Vishwatman Ajasya Akrita Karmanaha Tiryak Rishi Yadadishu Tadatyanta Vidambanam. That is, you again appear in among Tiryak, among the animals. Here is given as lower animals. You appear among the sages. You appear in the aquatics, and this is Atyanta Vidambanam, meaning it is bewildering. So here, in this context also, Kunti Maharani is straight away seeing Krishna, because she is offering praise to Krishna in front of him, and she is bewildered, thinking about how the Supreme Lord can appear in different species. And still, he is Aja, he is unborn, and his position is never questioned. So, the purpose is that the Lord want to attract. And this attractive energy of the Supreme Lord by this Leela Shakti is much, much superior to the material energy. So, when the devotees get attracted to the activities of the Supreme Lord, then they can overcome the material energy. So there is the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And all are meant to attract and to give a higher taste for living entities. However, we have difficulties in that. Right? Even though we try to understand the Supreme Lord, even though we try to develop attraction for the Supreme Lord, there are many impediments. So we have to give up those impediments, as it is mentioned. Vitaraka bhaya krodha manmana mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agataha. So what are those impediments in understanding the Supreme Lord and to get attracted to these wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord? These impediments are raga, bhaya and krodha. What is raga? Raga again means attachment. So we have attachment, we are supposed to get attached to the Supreme Lord, but we have our own attachments which are based on bodily conception of life. So this is one impediment, raga, vita raga. So one has to give up this kind of attachments. Then second is bhaya. Bhaya, as you know, it is the second nature of the material existence. And how bhaya comes? Bhaya also comes because we don't want to lose anything. And we don't understand and we don't actually get convinced that we are not the material body or mind. So this is one thing we repeatedly hear, that
we are not the body, we are not the mind. However, it is difficult to practice. And, you know, it takes some time to even to understand that we have to practice this. Now, even though we hear for such a long time, on a practical occasion, just to practice this principle that we are not the body or mind, just to think that we have to practice this, it takes a lot of time. It can be while performing devotional service, it can be while just chanting. We get attached to the mind. So much of attachment. And that's why we just get attached to the mind and the hearing goes completely away. So this attachment we have to cut by practice and knowledge. And bhaya, when we are in the bodily conception, there is bhaya. There has to be bhaya. There has to be fear. And that is manifested as anxiety. That is manifested as stress. So we have to get out from this. Otherwise, we cannot develop proper attachment for the Supreme Lord. So Krishna mentions in the fourth chapter itself, Vita, Raga, Bhaya, Krodha, and then the anger. Prabhupada gives the anger a couple of interesting definitions. Okay, anger, Krodha is anger. Prabhupada tells that even anger, in one sense, anger can be if there are confusing theories. If somebody is sincere in their path of searching for the Absolute, since they come across too many theories regarding the Absolute, they get confused and they can become angry and they can reject everything together and they become atheistic completely. So he said, okay, that is also an explanation of Krodha. So even we had to give up that kind of Krodha, speculation. Then Manmana, Maam Upashrita, Manmana, think of me. And Maam Upasrita, taking shelter of me. Bahavo Jnana Tapasa. By Bahava, too many people have gone to Krishna. Jnana and Tapasa. So here, Jnana and Tapasa are two very important terms. Tapasa means austerities. Austerities refers to primarily following the four regulative principles. And whatever austerities are required in devotional service. Now, because people are performing so many sinful activities, it is very difficult to understand anything about Krishna. So to know more about Krishna and to get fixed in devotional service, one has to give up sinful activities. And if one has already given up sinful activities, and if one is already following four regulative principles, then what is the austerity that one has to perform? So Prabhupada says, then that austerity is jnana. One should understand about Krishna. So if somebody, you know, we can meet people who doesn't have so much of sinful, those who haven't done so much of sinful activities. Then their austerities directly understand about Krishna and develop knowledge about Krishna. That is the austerity. So if we have already done so much sinful activities, first step, stop sinful activities. And then develop understanding about Krishna. Then with that, we can develop some attraction for Krishna's pastimes. We can develop some attraction for Krishna's qualities, about Krishna's form and Krishna's name. Everything, as we know, everything starts from the name. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says in the 11th chapter, Sthane Hrishikesha Tava Prakritya Jagat Prahashyat Anirajyate Cha. That is the two effects of hearing Krishna's names. One is one develops attachment for Krishna, and one becomes happy. So it's just hearing Krishna's name has two effects. One naturally develops attachment for Krishna. So if we have to develop attachment for Krishna, we have to hear holy names and also simultaneously hear about Krishna. So this two simultaneous process works together along with serving Krishna, then naturally one develops attraction for Krishna. And it is a gradual process. And with those attractions, one gradually develops the desire to go back home, back to Godhead. So again, developing the desire to go back home, back to Godhead, that is also a gradual process. Even though we may hear Back to Godhead magazine, you know, go back home, back to Godhead, we may say many times, we may hear many times, but to develop that desire, that doesn't come so fast. We don't actually think about going back home, back to Godhead so fast. It takes time to cultivate those desires, because That actual, the basis of that desire is attraction for Krishna and attraction to join in pastimes of Krishna. So unless and until we develop attraction for name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, actually we cannot say we have developed or we have real desire to go back to Godhead. So this is again a process of cultivation. It is anishilanam, it is cultivation, it can take time. And Krishna, to facilitate that, to facilitate those desires, he appears among aquatics. As we know, he appears as Matsyavatar, as a fish incarnation. He has appeared also as tortoise, Kurmavatar. Among rishis, he has appeared as Naranarayan rishis. Among devas, he appeared as Vamanadev. So was explained, Vamanadev is coming in the among the demigods. Then among half lion, half man incarnation, Narasimhadev. So Prahlad Maharaj also, interesting, even Prahlad Maharaj, when he was seeing Narasimhadev, he makes this prayer, he also mentions, okay, you appear among humans, you appear among animals, you appear among fishes, like that, the whole description even Prahlad Maharaj gives. To show, and he himself is bewildered, he's telling, you know, it is so amazing to you see you now in this form as Narasimhadev, half man and half lion. So in all these different species, it is mentioned the Lord appears. And it is mentioned that, because quoting the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord appears, as it is mentioned in this purport, all different species of life, the Lord appears. However, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't give the descriptions of all the different species, how the Lord appears, but gives the selected incarnations. So why the Lord, why Srimad Bhagavatam gives only selected incarnations? The reason is, whatever is enough for us to meditate on, that is presented. So whatever we are supposed to know, that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not exhaustive in that sense, because if we cannot count the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, because so many, as many waves are there in the ocean, we never try to go near the beach and count the waves, because there is no meaning to it. In the same way, the Lord's incarnations, there is no end to it. So the Lord appears in different incarnations, and the whole purpose is to attract the conditioned beings. And now, for us, it is our duty to reciprocate to the Supreme Lord and try to get attracted to the Supreme Lord. So whatever is necessary in terms of our sadhana and in terms of our seva, we should perform so that we develop the desire to associate with the Supreme Lord and to serve Him more and more. And also, it is very important that we give this knowledge to others, because the real meaning of showing love, showing respect to the Supreme Lord is when we share this knowledge to others. So in terms of appearance of Lord Krishna, as it is mentioned, Lord Krishna actually came as Leelavatar to perform His pastimes and to attract the conditioned beings, and His intention was not exactly to kill all the demons. That was not His intention. Even though He did eliminate all the miscreants from the universe. So in the cosmic manifestation and His cosmic management, there was this coincidence where it was the time for demolition and killing of all the different demons, and at that same time the Lord wanted to perform His pastimes. So when Krishna appeared in this world, He did two things. One is He attracted the conditioned beings, and He actually killed all the demons. So it was not that the Lord appeared just to kill, because even the Vishnu incarnations can easily kill all the demons, or even the material nature could kill all the demons. But it was just because of the coincidence of this time that the Lord appeared, He performed His pastimes, and He killed all the demons. And only by the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we could actually understand the position of Krishna, and especially position of Radha and Krishna. And the human beings could actually develop some kind of attraction for them. So as Mahaprabhu mentioned, it is the duty of all the living entities, those who are actually understanding this knowledge, especially the human beings, to propagate this knowledge of Krishna consciousness about the Supreme Lord. So one may have to use logic, one may have to use reason or whatever skills one has to propagate this. It's mentioned, if we have logic and reasoning, if we have the ability to analyze, if we have the ability to reason, then use those techniques in understanding the Supreme Lord. Then you would understand that that is the best use of your logic and reason. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, then one actually sees what is the real purpose of logic and reason, and one can really appreciate what is the meaning of the appearance of the Supreme Lord, and one can relish it more and more. So here, Prabhupada concludes this point that the eternal happiness which the living beings want to obtain in the kingdom of God, but the forgetful living beings under the influence of the material modes have no information of the kingdom of God. So this gap, that is when the living entities lack this knowledge, that gap we have to fill with providing knowledge starting from Bhagavad Gita and up to Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when we give this knowledge, we try to give the basic understanding that we are not the body, which we are trying to give as well as we are trying to practice. And then with that understanding, if we give, people can actually come to the platform of transcendence. And from there, they can understand the pastimes of the Lord. So without coming to the spiritual platform, no one can understand pastimes of the Lord. It is very difficult. Just as we described earlier, even the pure devotees, they have difficulty understanding pastimes of the Lord. So what to speak about a person who is completely submerged in the material modes? It is impossible. So slowly, with the austerity of giving up sinful activities and then the austerity of developing knowledge about Krishna in association with the devotees, one can try to understand the pastimes of the Lord. And it is a whole lifelong career, because this attraction we have to develop further and further. So the whole devotional life is meant for the sole purpose of developing attraction for the Supreme Lord and His pastimes. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions.
Thank you very much for a very intelligent explanation of this verse. Two things come to my mind. When you were saying about that meter scale in Paris, similar scale for diamond in London, GMs, okay. And the place, Greenwich, there you can go there and see how they are measuring the time. That's why you got mean time, GM. So that's one. The other thing what we're mentioning is how we develop love for Krishna. Ramaswamy gave a very nice lecture here. He said three things: Jivdaya, Namuki, and Vaishnava Seva. So if we do Vaishnava Seva, then we hardly do Vaishnava Prana. And by compassion, as we call it before, in favorite principles, then by that compassion, you will develop sincere love for Krishna. And the third thing is the Vaishnava Seva, which is most important. Like your Guru Maharaj's birthday is coming, you can see the smile, 2nd October. Everybody remember the India. It's also Gandhi's birthday anniversary. So by serving the spiritual master, you really get development in the love for Krishna. That is the easiest and foremost thing. And then you develop chanting. And then Mahaprabhu says chanting is the most important thing. So you come to those four points. Association of devotees, daily Prabhupada's, chanting the holy name and glorifying the holy name, and then devotional service. And the last point which you mentioned is most important, is preaching. Otherwise we will be phenomenal. So we have to preach the holy name. Whatever we have learned from Prabhupada and all these books, as much as possible, we preach the holy name. then Srila Prabhupada will be happy. And you responded to me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any further comments or questions? Hare.
So what is the meaning of the word Bhagavan?
Bhagavan means one who possesses bhagas. Bhaga means opulence.
Also so?
Yes.
No, is it a, like bhaga and va? Is it some meaning?
Oh, okay. That I can't remember. Yes, there is a split like that. Bhaga va. So that's actually given by, I think, Jiva Goswami or someone has actually given. I can't remember. Yeah, Jiva Goswami has given. I can't remember that. One meaning is leader, that is there.
Yeah. Ba is the controller.
I can't remember exactly. One place it is given is in Sri Shopanishad, it is explained. And also in Bhagavatam also, one of the purports, it is presented. Chaitanya Charitamrita also there, yeah. So I think we can refer that, yeah. There is two different kinds of explanation. Say Bhagavan, generally the word is coming from Bhaga, and Van is one who possesses. So that's how the Bhagavan, if you split the word, comes. But this is a further explanation, that is splitting the word with different letters, that is Bha, Ga, Va, like that. So that is the Jiva Goswami's explanation. So that is more elaborate, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Ven Sashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.